live from the San Francisco Bay. It's the Produce Pair, your food show on the enjoyment of fresh fruits and vegetables. What's in season? What's fresh? At the store, the farmer's market, in your backyard, and on your table. Speaking of fresh, here's your host, America's Natural Grocers, Dan the Produce Man and Guido the Gardener.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Produce Pair on this fine, fine, lovely March day. I'm Dan the Produce Man, along with
Guido the Gardener.
And today we have a great guest with us. He is known all over the world as a grower of great organic, mainly stone fruit is from what I know you from, but I also know you now from apple juice as well. Al Krishane joins us here. He was the proprietor of Frog Hollow Farm in Brentwood, California, and we're going to talk to him about the benefits of organic produce. And also, just to let you know, today's program is brought to you by the Pear Bureau Northwest, growers of nutritious, delicious Northwest pears. And folks, we're going to give away a pear packer. All you got to do is go to our website, and what it does is it protects your pears from destruction. If you take your pears to work with you or pack them in your children's lunch,
yeah,
you just put them in this little, it looks like a mold, and close it, and your pears stay firm and good. So
yeah, it was really neat. I saw one of those. I said, that's a heck of an idea, because, you know, most pears, the Bosque pear, you can eat a little firmer, but most pears, you like, you know, soft, juicy, and this will protect your pears.
Yes, that's right, the Pear Packer, right here on the Produce Pair. And to see what it's all about, go to the What's New page of the Produce Pair website, www.producepair.com, and click the Pear Bureau link. Speaking of Texas, we are also brought to you by Texas Sweet Citrus Marketing, growers of delicious, nutritious ruby red grapefruit, star ruby, Hamelin's, and pineapple oranges, and Valencia oranges, and navel oranges.
And organic real stars. Amazing.
Yes,
amazing,
absolutely
flavor.
Delicious. So some really good stuff brings you the Produce Pair on this fine, fine Saturday morning in San Francisco, the Epicurean capital of the world.
Sun's not out, though, yet.
It's okay. Fog in San Francisco go together.
Well,
and, you know, being at the farmer's market, which is right around the corner, all morning long, the setup of that is, it's a big job, right, Al?
Absolutely.
And to have a nice foggy morning for the setup,
yeah,
is great.
And
then the sun
right.
comes out a little bit later on, and then you're riding. It's fantastic. I know, because I used to do it.
But see, I was waiting for the sun because I got my little seedlings at home, and I like to put them, you know, out. And I looked out today, and overcast, foggy, cold. It was cold. It's been
very cold.
Very cold
this morning. Yeah.
It's been cold.
The air is cold. The sun is warm.
Yeah, that's true. So now they're still camped. My seedlings are camped out inside my house. I'll put them out when I get home. But
nothing can be hotter than these studio lights.
I know.
Shining down on a bald head like mine.
I just burn my fingers at the break. We'll get the technician in here and take care of that.
Okay. Hey, anyway, let's get started right with Big Al, Farmer Al Krishane, Frog Hollow Farm. I mean, first of all, Brentwood, California has been known for many years as an agriculture location in Northern California, east of the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there's some development going on there. It's becoming the kind of the Walnut Creek of eastern Contra Costa County, but a lot of land is still preserved for agriculture.
Yeah, actually we have a new land trust that's been recently formed out there, and we're very hopeful that this will help protect agriculture and the priceless farmlands we have out there for future generations.
I tell you, some of the best stone fruit and best cherries I've ever had come from that particular growing location.
Yeah, you know, Brentwood is famous for its cherries. They were planting cherries back in the 20s and even the early 20s because they knew that cherries would do well there. And that was back in the days when everything was organic. And so you can do very well with organic cherries, and the quality is the best. For some reason, the microclimate out there, we're right on the edge of the Delta, and we never have to worry about a frost, for example, because of the delta waters, that large body of inland water holds the heat and just enough to protect us from frost. And of course, my farm is right just a mile from the delta. But we do have, I would think, some of the world's greatest cherries. We're famous for apricots. Peaches are getting famous. Frog Hollow Farm peaches are well known. And apples is becoming a great center for growing some of the some of the more popular apples of the marketplace today, like Fuji's and Granny's. And Pink Ladies and Galas, they all do very well in Brentwood.
Yeah, huge apple area.
Yeah, so it's a great fruit bed. It's also becoming well-known for corn, Brentwood corn.
Yes, Brentwood corn, one of the favorites here at the Produce Pier.
I thought we were going to slip that in.
Absolutely. Hey, folks, Al Crochane is our guest here on the Produce Pier, talking about organic fruit and a whole lot more. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't forget, check out the Produce Pier website at www.producepair.com. Welcome back to the Produce Pair, folks, on this lovely, lovely Saturday.
Okay, now I agree with you. It's lovely.
It always is. It's okay, always a lovely day, especially on a Saturday.
All right. Al, it could be 32 degrees outside and rain. And Dan, my favorite produce man, will always say, "It's a lovely, lovely, fine day here at wherever we are."
That's right. Wherever you may be.
He's an optimist.
That's it. Yeah, maybe that's why we hang out together with that.
Well, you know, one of my favorite things to do, and I don't get to do it that often, is flying in an airplane or any type of aviation. Lighter than air is actually preferable. But the last time I stepped into a hot air balloon, they couldn't get the thing off the ground until they told me, "Blow into it, Dan." And it finally raised up. But
that's why they invited you, Dan.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's why he's on radio, hot air.
But once you get above the clouds, the sun is always shining.
There you go.
So, you know, it's shining somewhere.
I know. I used to tease you about that, but it makes sense.
Al Crochane is with us. Frog Hollow Farm is the location, the farm that he manages, runs, owns, operates, and gets the product out to you in your stores for your enjoyment. Your varieties of fruit are shipped all over the United States?
Yes, they are, Dan. Mostly, we try to get a lot of it here into the Bay Area and Northern California, but we do ship all up and down the West Coast, Portland, Seattle, and some of it goes back to New York City. There's some restaurants back there that are avid fans of ours, and they insist on air freight shipments, overnight shipments. So yeah, it's all over the country. Chicago, you name it, Boston.
Well, you know, this is a point I really want to make, is that Frog Hollow peaches, because California produces all sorts of stone fruit, you know, peaches, nectarines, plums, all sorts. Okay, fine. And they're good and they're wonderful. But there is a premium that people put on, and justifiably so, because I've been eating Farmer Al's fruit for a long time. But one, the varieties he grows are exceptional. His and we were kind of talking off mic a little bit ago, his white nectarine is absolutely the best piece of fruit you'll ever eat. It's absolutely amazing.
The white rose.
The white rose.
Yeah.
Just, I mean... It's like angelic. It's just incredibly good. But the varieties of stone fruit that he grows are exceptional. They're old-fashioned varieties in general.
Pretty much.
And just the way he grows them, the way he lets them hang on the tree and ripen, absolutely delicious. You're not going to see them, you know, in the market at 69 cents a pound, because they're worth far more than 69 cents a pound. But you'll be hard-pressed to find a better piece of stone fruit in the summer.
Thanks, Guido. Yeah, we attribute much of that is attributable to the soils and the particular microclimate that we enjoy on our land at the mouth of the Sacramento San Joaquin River Delta in Brentwood. It's just an hour inland from San Francisco, but the climate there is totally different. You get that hot inland Central Valley heat during the daytime, but at nighttime it cools down because of the delta breezes. And that has some kind of physiological effect on the growth of the trees. I think it gives the trees a chance to rest at night, so they're not stressed as much. And consequently, our fruit is incredibly sweet. You're right. Sweeter. It's sweeter than the fruit coming out of Fresno, which is considered to be the capital of the stone fruit world. But our fruit is significantly better than Fresno stone fruit.
Well, you know, it is.
The soil out there, the land at one time, and I'm talking many, many, many moons ago, that was all marshland at one time.
That's right.
So the soil is just that mixed with that microclimate that you're talking
about.
Very
rich soil.
Absolutely incredible.
It's all sedimentary, yeah.
Because my vegetable garden that I had when I lived in that neck of the woods was the best vegetable yeah. garden I ever had. And you're right. The nighttime does give the trees and the plants a chance to rest, because my squash plants and my cucumber plants looked like they were wilting, dying during the day in the sun. And then as when the sun would go down at nighttime, they would just perk right up and look just as healthy.
Yeah, there's something about that climate out there that's just magical. Plants just love it. And you can hardly make a mistake as a gardener or a farmer.
Right. We'll get to that. He's so lucky, you know. He's so fortunate to be doing what he's doing.
Oh, absolutely, I love it.
We'll get into that. I got a good story there.
Okay, so some of the things that I do want to get into today, though, is some of the labor and the intense just to care that goes into organic growing practices.
Sure.
And what the difference is between that and, like Guido said, the 69-cent peach at the store. What makes it, you know, a $1.69 peach or $2 peach or whatever it is. We'll be back right after this, folks. We're the Produce Pair. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Produce Pair on this lovely Saturday. I'll try and stop saying that, Guido, but I just
talk. In between your ears, it's always a lovely Saturday. So I
agree. Darn right it is.
Jeez,
you know
holy cow.
I'm Dan the Produce Man.
And I am Guido the Gardener.
And Big Al Cruchane is here with us from Frog Hollow Farm.
Morning, Dan. Morning, Guido.
You know, Al, we've had some really bizarre weather this winter.
Yes, we have.
And we had, usually every February, we do get a hot spell for about 2 weeks. Everybody thinks, oh, it's not going to rain anymore. And they rush out and they rush to the stores and they want good peaches and good nectarines. And they want all the things of summer. People are throwing shorts
starting
on.
Starting to think about it, sure.
It happens usually for 2 weeks. But this year, we didn't get the really super cold December that we usually get.
No.
And we had a very warm January. And then it cooled down. We got some nice cold weather, something you could actually tribute to the season. And then the weather warmed up again, and then it rained like crazy. So our stone fruit trees, they need some sort of amount of chill hours,
that's right,
more
Dan.
Than what they got this year.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, Dan, that's something that most people don't realize. Stone fruit farmers such as myself, we're just as concerned with the winter weather as we are when there's in the spring and summer when the fruit's on the tree. You're right, the trees do need that winter chilling to for proper bud formation and for a good fruit set and for quality fruit. We're looking for about 1,000 hours of what we call chilling temperatures. Those are temperatures below 45 degrees Fahrenheit. And this year we haven't gotten them. You're right, most people don't think of December as being a warm month, but from our point of view, it was warm because it never got below 45 degrees, and it was wet and rainy, but just never got very cold. So the trees did not get that winter chill that they like. We're hoping for a recovery of these chilling temperatures. During the month of January, it was cold. February, the days have been warm, but nights have been cold. So we're up to about 800 chilling hours now, and we're confident that it's still going to be a nice crop this year, but we haven't had any damaging frost or anything. It's been strange weather, but I think we're going to be okay.
Now, blossoms also came out early.
They are.
I noticed it. You know, it's great because right across the street is a huge cherry tree, and blossoms were there when they shouldn't have been this year. Now, when the blossoms come out early and then it rains and washes them off.
That's bad. That's very bad.
Damages the blossom.
What it does, it creates the right conditions of moisture and temperature that enable the fungus called brown rot to become activated. And this brown rot fungus, the spores of the fungus are in the trees all the time anyway. I mean, there's just nothing you can do to get rid of them. And given the proper combination of weather events, such as mild or warmish temperatures and rain, the brown rot will become activated, and they will eat up those flowers, and the flowers just turn brown. These beautiful pink peach blossoms, they just turn dark brown and wilt up and dry right on the branch and get all gummy and sticky, and no fruit. Of course, if the flower gets destroyed, you got no fruit. So it's the riskiest time of the year we like to see those cold temperatures in the winter time, but the very riskiest time for stone fruit growers is the month of March, when the flowers are on the tree and we're hoping for a good fruit set. We want to see the bees out there working. We like the nice, warm, sunny days and the cold nights, which is what we've been getting so far, Dan and Guido, and I'm hoping it stays that way. But, yeah, if the riskiest time for us is when the blossoms are on the tree and we're always looking at the weather to see if it's going to rain.
Good. There you go,
folks.
Should
we cross all our fingers? After
yes, I think okay. we should. Absolutely. Okay, and then we're going to get into a little bit more about, like we said, the methods of organic growing.
Versus conventional, how Al does things different than everybody else.
Very good. Right here on The Produce Pair. We'll be back after this.
Hello, everybody. This is Guido the Gardener. You are listening to The Produce Pair radio show. My partner in crime is on his way back with a lovely refreshment for our guest who's been with us for the last half hour, Farmer Al Kershane. He has an amazing operation out in Brentwood, California, which is just about an hour or so of here. It's not, by the way, it is not the Brentwood down in Southern California that was made infamous a few years ago. It's a wonderful kind of half bedroom community and half farming community. just east of here. So welcome back, Farmer Al. We've been chatting while the mics were off, while everybody was listening to the commercials, which are so very important to
absolutely
the
you must listen to them
and
do what they say.
Yes, please do. eat yes. But we were chatting about how March is so important to a tree fruit tree fruit grower.
Yeah.
And explain that the hot pineapple express Alaskan. Check this out. You were going.
Yeah, the month of March is the most critical time of the year for peach farmers and nectarine growers and apricots and cherries. All of these so-called stone fruits, they're the fruits that have that hard pit in the middle of them, are very susceptible to a disease called brown rot. That's the common name for it. There's a very good Latin name for
it,
too.
Don't confuse us. No,
we
please.
Won't get into the
okay,
Latin.
Okay, thanks.
But anyway, brown rot is, that's the same disease that the consumer is sometimes find in his peaches when he cuts open the peach and it's brown inside, and it's brown and mushy and rotten inside. Or you see a brown spot on the outside of the fruit, a brown like the size of a dime, and it's dark brown instead of the beautiful yellow of the peach. So that's called brown rot, and the most critical the riskiest time for a stone fruit grower is in the month of March. Brown rot is the spores of the fruit are always in the orchard, on the tree, in the soil, and but they're only activated and they only cause damage if there's a weather conditions or a weather event which give them the kind of living conditions that they need to begin to become active and do their damage. And that's warm temperatures and free moisture like rain. And sometimes in the month of March is when we get a pineapple express coming up out of the tropics. The temperatures are warm and it's raining. That is the worst disaster for stone fruit farmers in California.
That's warmth and rain.
Yeah,
at the same time. Yeah,
correct.
Well, that's where
Farmer Al got those gray hairs. The pineapple express.
The month of March.
Yeah. I guess it's great for growing star fruit and things of that nature, but not.
It's
not,
good
not
for
here.
Bananas.
Yeah, nice. Hey, okay. Now you've always been an organic grower. What just kind of in a nutshell, because it is, quite involved. But what do you do differently as an organic grower, as opposed to somebody just growing conventional peaches and nectarine?
I'd say the most important thing we do, Guido, is we don't destroy the richness of the soil and the microorganisms that live in the soil. We don't destroy that with chemicals, with poisons, with herbicides and fertilizers. We build up the organic matter and the rich life, microbial life of the soil by using compost and fish emulsion and blood meal, and there's an endless array of materials that organic farmers use for fertility and for enhancing their crops, but none of them are harsh, toxic, petrochemicals the way conventional farmers use. And so we feel that protecting the soil is the way you really protect the health and encourage the vitality of your trees and your crops. And trees and crops are just like human beings. If you have a healthy system, a healthy organism, a healthy tree or a healthy corn stalk or whatever, they're going to be resistant to whatever diseases or pests or insects that are out there. So we don't. If you start with the health of the soil, you don't have to worry too much about diseases and insects.
Which it goes feed the soil, not the plant.
That's right.
Something like
that's
that.
That's right. We do feed the plant sometimes. We do some foliar feeding we spray fish emulsion, for example.
Right on the trees.
Right on the trees. And or even seaweed. Seaweed, kelp is another very rich, product from the sea, have pretty much all of the elements of life in them. It's where all life came from originally anyway. It was from the ocean. And so organic farmers have these kinds of products we can put in a tank and spray it on the leaves. And the pores of the leaves will absorb these materials into the plant system, and it'll go down into the root system. It'll help the tree be strong. But our first choice and our first strategy is to improve the soil, the quality of the soil.
Well, so far it's been working. I've been eating your fruit for a long, long time.
And
even compared to other organic growers, it's staggering what he's got going on.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we're going to talk about old varieties versus new varieties, and why are we talking about stone fruit in March, and is it the stone fruit that you see in the stores right now? Folks, we'll find out when we come back from this break. This is the Produce Pair. I'm Dan the Produce Man.
I'm Guido the Gardener.
And Big Al here is with us. We'll be back after this. All right. Good music there. Hey, good pick there, Greg. I like that. Can you turn that up a little bit?
Is this Santana?
There's always room for Santana. On the Produce Pair Radio Show. Welcome back, folks. I'm Dan the Produce Man.
I'm Guido the Gardener.
And Big Al Quershane from Frog Hollow Farm is here with us to share with you the benefits of organic produce farming and the benefits of organic produce consumption.
Thanks, Dan.
Just before we left off, Farmer Al was asking me if I knew a bartender in Alameda. The answer is yes.
How many, Guido? That's the other question.
Yeah, let's just leave it at
the
that.
The answer is all of them.
All of them. Do you know Fred? Oh, yes. Do you know Tony? Yes, yeah. All of the above, yes.
Wow. And some of them do serve organic beer, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
In fact, I've had some very good organic beer.
Wallivers, that's great. That's a great one.
Oliver's?
Walliver.
Oh, Walliver.
Yeah.
Well, see, there we go. There's another one.
Hey, the organic movement is spreading everywhere, even into alcoholic liquid libations.
Just because you say it's okay for me to drink this, honey, it's organic.
I wasn't going to mention it, but I'll mention it now. I worked one time for a guy. This guy was an organic guy. He was a fanatic. He wouldn't use WD-40 on the hand trucks because of the ozone or something like this. But the guy drank, but he justified. And like 3 o'clock, I'd show up for work in the Oakland Produce Market, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he'd be there banging on Sierra Nevadas or something back that time. And he said as long as they were pure, I think he was alcoholic, but, you know, it didn't matter to him as long as it was, you know, pure and organic.
Well, what did he grease the wheels with? That's what I want. If he didn't use WD-40.
Oh, jorjuba oil or something like that. Where he took aloe vera. But I still remember that. I swear he would not use WD-40 on the hand trucks. But then he'd be soused at 3 o'clock in the morning. So bless him wherever he is.
It's not there anymore, huh?
Oh, the way he ran that joint? Hey, he hired me. So
okay.
What do you think of his business acumen?
Well, speaking of good acumen, or acupuncture,
acumen.
Or just acumen, or whatever
stone
you want to call it. There we go.
I got a question. Were you going to lead? I'm sorry. You were going to lead into something.
No, I was going to say something foolish and silly.
Oh, that's like okay. Leave that up to me. That's why I'm here.
Acupuncture and
no,
other
that's
things.
Why I'm that, here. now, all right. The stone fruit that we've got in the stores now, peaches, nectarines, plums. Apricots are out of New Zealand, but the rest of them are out of
Chile.
Yeah. And
halfway around the world.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. The plums, the plums are pretty
good. What we do want the folks to know is that the stone fruit that you do see in the store right now is not Big Al stone fruit.
Yeah.
It is not even grown here in the United States. It's like you said, south of the equator somewhere, Chile, South Africa, and some stuff from New Zealand is flown in. And it is pretty good, but the real season is the real season.
Correct.
And speaking of the real season, when can we expect the first of Frog Hollow peaches, or nectarines, I guess, would come first, or peaches?
Well, actually, Dan, the very first thing we pick is cherries.
Ripening, great.
Starting about May 20th, my birthday, by the way.
Make a note of that. We'll send him a card.
Yeah. Or if you're young and beautiful, you can come to the farmer's market and give me a hug and a kiss.
There you go. That's it.
Right around the corner here
female.
At the Ferry Plaza.
Yeah. Listen, women only, please. Women only.
I hope my wife isn't listening to this. Anyway, the first fruit to pick is cherries. Peaches come almost the next day or a couple days within the first cherry pick as well. Some of the early varieties. That's the nice thing about peaches, Dan and Guido, is that while cherry season lasts only 3 weeks to a month here in California, peach season lasts all summer, actually goes into the fall. We're picking our last variety of peach. Our first variety picks in May, last week of May. Our last variety of peach picks the last week of September. So we're picking peaches for about 4 months. Every day at Frog Hollow Farm.
Now, how many varieties are in that 4 months, though?
Well, that's it. Each variety lasts for. It takes about 2 weeks to pick each variety. So we're at about 27 varieties right now.
So
a lot of them overlap. Some of them are white varieties, but we like yellow flesh varieties at Frog Hollow Farm. And I'm glad you asked me about varieties, because varieties is one of the most important things to learn about where fruit is concerned, especially peaches, because there's a lot of new varieties on the market nowadays, and they're designed by the plant breeders and horticulturalists to look pretty
and ship
and ship well.
Holy goodness.
Do not eat well.
Well, now when you say newer varieties, there's some varieties that have been around, and my favorite, believe it or not, is the one that comes right after everyone else's favorite. I like the O. Henry. I've always loved the O. Henry peach.
I like the Suncrest.
And, I started liking that one, too, after.
Okay.
But that one kind of made a comeback or a resurgence, or it's a new, I'm not sure. When you say older varieties, and we just got a few seconds before we go to the break, but I really want to get into this older variety talk when we get back.
Hey, we got plenty of time. Hey, Dan, feel free to talk. We got 27, 26, 25 seconds.
Okay, that's great. You don't want to count it down. They're going to think the station is changing formats.
No, there's time at the other end of this break.
That's right. Okay, so we are going to get into these varieties, because it is important that you do understand just the difference in flavor in some of the varieties, juiciness, sugar content, and everything. We'll be back after this.
Vegetables are very good for you. Eat your fish, eat your okra too. Clean your plate, it's easy, it's just a piece of cake.
Ice cream.
Vegetables are very good for you.
And so is fruit.
Eat your fish, eat your okra.
And your fish and okra and everything else. Hey, folks, we're the Produce Pair, and we want to thank our sponsors and affiliates today, the Pear Bureau Northwest. Growers of delicious, nutritious, excellent pears that you see in the stores right now. We encourage you to buy those pears. Dionjus, Bosques are pretty much what you're going to find all over the place right now. Delicious. And Texas Sweet Citrus as well. Also delicious. So get them while you can. And we also want to thank our affiliates, KITZ 1400 in Seattle, KSBN 1230 in Spokane, KBNP 1410 in Portland, and Guido and I have been toying around with the idea of doing call-ins, so as soon as we get that together, folks, we'll let you know, and Maybe we'll do some of those.
Yeah,
greengrocer type segment where people can call and ask us questions.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We got a lot of things kicking around back and forth.
That's right.
That's just one of them.
Our heads are like little slides on the side of an old computer monitor with a pong ball going in between them.
Hey, Dan, what about... We leave messages for everybody. Hey, Dan, what about this? Hey, Guido, what about that? But things do come to fruition.
That's right. And speaking of things coming to fruition, we have Al Corshane here from Frog Hollow Farm. Frog Hollow. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Dan, that's a name that I came up with one spring day, you know, back when I was... much younger.
Okay.
you know how that is.
That could be a little.
The birds and the bees and everything. Coming down from a trip up to Yosemite Valley and just driving down through those beautiful foothills of the green grass growing in May, and it was just an inspiration. but I've always liked the image of the storybook images of the Wind in the Willows story of my childhood.
We can see on your logo.
That's right. And the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. As it so happens, there's a canal, an irrigation canal that runs through my farm, right through the middle of my farm. And it's in the springtime, it's just loaded with frogs. And every night is a frog symphony is serenading us as we sit on the balcony drinking our mint juleps.
There you go.
That's great.
So romantic.
Doesn't get better than that, huh?
So romantic.
So that's it. And frogs are a connection. You know, when I used to be known as Brentwood Farms when I was a conventional farmer. When I went organic, I wanted an image that evoked the connection to nature, and animals do that very well.
That does do it.
Oh, it's a famous name. Website.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there is a little trouble right now connecting to the website because there's some maintenance going on this on the Frog Hollow website.
But jot it down.
That's right. It's
froghollow.com.
Remember, froghollow.com, folks. And you can also click get to it from the Produce Pair What's New page.
Because through that website, you can get, because you make other things. You make... preserves and whatnot.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, we make whatever you can make with fruit. We
there
make
you
it.
Go.
Yeah, my wife Becky is a masterful pastry chef, and she makes fruit pastries with a fruit that's probably too ripe to sell. And also, we make jams, marmalades, and chutneys as well. And these are all available on the website, and to be shipped, we can ship anywhere in the United States.
Hey, there you go, folks. Organic. The fruit itself,
and also the fruit itself can be shipped anywhere in the United States or Alaska, Hawaii, we pick it. We actually ship it the same. And of course, this is in season. This is during the summer months.
Right.
We ship it the same day it's picked. So it's picked that morning. We put it in the box that later on that morning, and it's. Either FedEx or UPS comes and picks it up, and it could be at your house the next day or 2 days later.
Okay, so remember, it's picked in the morning, Al said. That's to keep the field heat out of it so that when they put it in
correct.
The package and you get it to your door.
It's not marmalade by the time it gets there.
Right,
yes. But still open it up and let the air get into it as soon as you get it. Don't let it sit in your house for a week. This fruit has to be eaten and enjoyed when you get it.
Time is of the essence, yeah.
And picking it at the right ripeness. I mean, you've got different stages that folks pick stone fruit at. You've got mature, well mature, tree ripened, and yours is picked at what stage? Frog Hollow.
Well,
stage,
ours is picked truly tree ripe.
There we go.
There's a lot of people who claim to have tree ripe fruit, but ours is we think ours is truly tree ripe. We actually measure the sugar. We'll take a random sampling of fruits off the tree before we pick that variety to make sure that the sugar levels are up to be as sweet as we want them to be. That's the measurement of sugar in fruit, like grapes, is called Brix, B-R-I-X, after the guy who invented the measuring device.
Refractometer.
The refractometer, yeah. But... anyway, so yeah, we monitor the sugar level of our fruit before we pick it.
Very good. We're talking with Our Courchain. Hey, he's also Our Courchain, isn't he?
Today he is.
Al Courchain from Frog Hollow Farm in Brentwood, California. Oh, that's the music that tells us we got to go. So we're going to have to get into the varieties. Then. When the varieties come out, we're going to have Al back and do it again, won't we?
We'll be outstanding in his field.
Let's do it. All right.
Hey, folks, we'll be back next week. Take care.